Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Petty, alongside the Rogue One, Mr. Gary Whitta.
Whitta Wednesday.
Whitta Wednesday, indeed. Reunited, and it feels so good.
It always feels so good. I'm very glad to be hosting with you today, Jared.
How come?
I just always enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's always a pleasure.
We had this. We got a warm up on morning show today.
We did.
We're sharing the shock mic.
It's kind of
like being the two old men from the Muppet Show.
It was a little bit like being Waldorf and Statler. I feel like we fit into those roles very comfortably.
How you been?
I mean, fine. Yeah. When's the last time we hosted together?
It's been a while. It's been quite a while.
Too long.
Yeah, too long.
And this is another situation where there's not really anyone in the office, so the lunatics have once again taken over the asylum.
Strap in, folks. It's going to be a bumpy
ride. It's going to be a bumpy
ride. I don't think we're in danger of the crazy going over time this time, though, because it's kind of a quiet news day. There's important stories, but there's not too many of
them. Let's see what happens.
Indeed. Let's find out. But first, let's go to housekeeping. PAX is next week, and we're all over it. Greg, Jared, Andrea, and more than 20 of your favorite video game personalities are squaring off in the Kinda Funny Inner Sight Championship Saturday at 7 p.m. in the Hydra Theater. A trailer went out for that recently. We're competing for the Pear Schneider Cup. I'm going to be a part of that competition. I predict here and now that I will lose badly at that competition.
What games will you be playing?
I don't think that's been revealed to the public yet. That's
okay. Right. Maybe it's like how they do the Omegathon, where you don't know what the game is going to be until it's revealed in that moment.
Man, the Omegathon's rad.
I love the Omegathon.
Favorite Omegathon finisher ever, Skee-Ball. Yours?
I'm blanking on it, but there was another really old school thing that they did. It was something ridiculous like beer pong or something that they did. It wasn't a video game. It was something crazy.
Skee-Ball and versus Excitebike, the obscure two-player version of Excitebike where you raced against somebody else. Those are my two favorite Omegathon.
Both very good choices.
Great endings. I think you can expect some kind of special surprise ending to this one as well.
They always end them on a high note.
Well, not just the Omegathon. I'm talking about the Kinda Funny Inner Sight Championship.
How did it come to be named after Pear Schneider?
You know what? That's lore. I think for that, you got to go to the Kinda Funny Wiki and type in Pear Schneider, and you probably won't find it, but you can make a page that explains the story.
Is there a Kinda Funny Wiki?
There ought to be. If there's not a Kinda Funny Wiki, hey, y'all, I mean, we rely on you. Please get on it. I don't know.
This is a two-way street, people.
Indeed. Greg, Jared, Corey, and more are talking about the perfect Superman game Friday at 3 p.m. at the Wyvern Theater, however you want to say it, at PAX. Once again, on Friday, the quest for the perfect Superman game. That's Greg Miller, Jared Petty, Corey Barlog, creator of God of War,
of
Kat Bailey from US Gamer, and Sydney Goodman from IGN. We're going to talk about why Superman games suck and how to make them better. Also, on Saturday, do you like cowboys? Do you like Red Dead? Well, then stop by Red Dead Radio Live. That's right.
That will be exciting.
Now, we're going to record an episode of that there as well. So a lot of stuff going on for Kinda Funny folks at PAX. Also, Andrea and What's Good Games. They're going to take the Hydra stage at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So much happening. So much happening with Kinda Funny. Gary, what's your PAX panel?
I'm not going to PAX.
Well, there we go then. All right.
Yet another reason to go. You won't. There's no zero risk of bumping into me. You know, I was planning to go as I do every year. And this year we had a scheduling conflict arise. But I'm making a commitment. I'm making a commitment right here and now to you. And you know I can't lie to you. I'm going to look you right in the eyes and tell you I will be there next year.
You have
come hell or high water, by hook or by crook, I will be at PAX next year.
I'll believe it.
And hold me to it. Hold my feet to the fire. Do not let me wriggle out of this.
Much like Jeffrey Rush at the beginning of Shakespeare in Love, I will hold your feet to the fire.
You must.
Absolutely. Patreon fan mail is a signed photo of Nick the Champ. That's right. If you have somehow missed that at Kinda Funny this week, you can get a signed picture of Nick. And, Kevin's going to run over with it.
And what a picture it is.
Wow, Kevin's running around the studio right now like some kind of like enraged leprechaun trying to find that picture. We're just going to move on.
They were just here on the desk a moment ago.
Torchlight preview on IGN.com. That's right. This is actually from show notes from yesterday. But yeah, I got to take a look at the new Torchlight. I'm excited about that. If you want to see that, that's on IGN right now. Take a look at that. And today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll talk to you about that later, because right now it's time for what is and forever will be The Roper Report.
Wow. Time. Back to the mic just in time.
That was amazing.
That was amazing.
Folks, you can't see that at home. Cool Greg came running in like Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Leapt across the room like a cheetah.
He did. That was amazing just to get to the seat in time. That was really cool.
That was impressive.
Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report today.
We'd be remiss.
What is this chaos? What is this? All this interruption just for a picture of Nick Scarpino?
But allow me to present Exhibit A.
Art Champ.
If that's not worth interrupting the show over, what is?
I can think of at least 17 things off the top of my head that are more worth interrupting.
When I look at this photograph, I have any number of very confusing feelings.
What are those feelings?
I'm trying to sort them out right now. All I know is I want to be alone with this picture.
Yeah, you do.
That's all I know. That's the only thing I know for sure.
I don't.
Why? I can't tell you. I've got my suspicions, but I would rather conduct a full investigation before I get to the bottom of those emotions.
I mean, if you need to step off camera for a minute and investigate, I understand.
Might only take them a moment.
Wow.
All right. Let's get back to it.
Because I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Number one, no new Assassin's Creed in 2019.
Hold on. Did you do the whole...
We did the whole thing. You just ran out of the room to grab a dumb picture of Nick.
You were super excited about that.
No, I was not.
It was Greg who heroically leapt back to the mic to do the...
We've done all this, Kevin. You're breaking up our funky flow.
If you're gonna fall asleep at the switch, Kevin, you will miss things.
Exactly. No, we didn't.
You just ran away.
It seemed like you wanted that.
No, not at all.
I wanted it.
Don't encourage it. Don't encourage it. Oh, you want the picture. No new Assassin's Creed in 2019. This by Tom Hopkins, a big Twinfinite. The Assassin's Creed series will take a break in 2019, much like it did in 2016. Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot, I never say that right, revealed at Gamescom 2018. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is due to release later this year, and it'll be supported well into 2019, ensuring fans have content to enjoy in the lead up to the next new release. It's just because the team were working separately, so we have two games now, 1 year after the other. But next year, you're not going to have a full-fledged one, said Guillemot when asked about the reason for the break. Essentially, 2017's Origins and Odyssey were being worked on at the same time, allowing them to release in subsequent years. He also confirmed the focus will be on Odyssey in 2019 rather than a spin-off or remaster, saying what we'll have is lots of content coming in on Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The team really wants to give, on a regular basis, some new possibilities for play. So when you get Odyssey this year, you're going to be getting it for a couple of years. Or you're going to get in for a couple of years, actually. Gary, what are thoughts?
I was just talking, so I was on the Giant Bombcast yesterday, which is always a good time. Talking to Jeff and Brad and Ben and those guys about what's going on in the background over there. That was crazy.
Again, at this point, Kevin's just completely off the rails.
You cannot get good help these days.
I don't understand what this is.
So we were talking about this, and I was surprised to see that there was another full-fat Assassin's Creed in the shape of Odyssey coming. Because Origins still feels pretty fresh, right? I mean, Origins is barely not even a year old, right? And here comes the next one.
Yeah.
And so I was asking the question, how are they doing this? Are they now on an Activision-style Call of Duty development cycle where they've got different teams working on different iterations so that it's basically a new Assassin's Creed basically becomes an annual event?
Yeah.
And that seemed to be the case. But here we are, but we now see that they actually are taking a break. And I think it's probably a good thing because Assassin's Creed, you don't want franchise fatigue to kick in.
And they kind of hit that point before. I mean, right. Remember that year it was like, oh, there's a guy Rogue and then we're in Paris
and
then
Unity, we're there, and everything.
Like, what's going on here? And so much assassinating.
I was a little bit like, really, another one? Didn't we just have the last one?
That London one happened. Everybody kind of forgot it happened, I think, there
that
for
was
a while.
That was Unity, wasn't it?
I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. Who can tell them apart anymore?
Exactly. So I think this is very wise on their part. Odyssey looks really neat. Obviously, Origins
looks great.
Really cool.
Origins looks good, but I'm more the milieu of Egyptian mythology is very appealing, but the Greek mythology I enjoy more. And I like what they do. I know they did it a little bit in Origins as well, but I like that they're mixing up the history and the Greek, the fantasy, the mythology aspect.
Right, because
like Medusa is in the game and shit like that. That's cool.
Yeah, they're actually leaning, it looks like, from what we're seeing in previews, a little more into the mythological element than I thought they would.
Maybe because Greek mythology lends itself more so than the Egyptian. Like, how many you can probably name some Egyptian gods, but I can name more Greek gods.
My problem is that I spent like way too many years in college studying like ancient Near Eastern studies and Mediterranean.
So you can name a bunch
yes,
of them.
Actually,
right.
But you're spent not. A lot of time reading weird religious texts from long like defunct societies. That was
right.
So actually, quite a few, but most folks probably not. And that wasn't meant to sound snooty or anything. It was just a misspent. College education.
I feel like them getting into like maybe having these on and off years where each, like let's say each even numbered year, you get a new full fat Assassin's Creed, and then the following year is about supporting that with DLC and expansions and stuff like that, and then and then 2 years later you get the next one. Because I think they probably are aware of, they don't want to fall into the same trap that Activision and EA have fallen into where they kill the golden goose by putting these things out too often.
I agree. And it gives them time to reflect on the design too. I like that. You get a chance to look at response. I mean, the thing about making video games is by the time you've seen the response to the next game, if you're on a yearly cycle, you're already well into development of the next one to come out. And there's a lot of things you may not be able to shift on without delaying.
Right.
And if people are expecting that yearly cycle, you can't delay. So I think this is a prudent move on their part. It'll give them time to breathe a little bit and figure out what to do next.
I am excited for Odyssey, and I'm glad that they're not churning these things out.
I agree. I'm also excited for Odyssey. Number two story of the day. NBA 2K's loot boxes have been adjusted to comply with Belgian gambling laws. This by Nick Santangelo. Thank you. I don't know what's wrong with me today. From IGN. I'm probably just that I can't speak. 2K Games has announced changes to NBA's 2K's in-game purchase system in Belgium to comply with Belgian gambling laws that were adjusted in response to 2017's loot box fiasco. The changes will be to NBA 2K Series My Team feature. Specifically, we'll be turning off the ability to purchase packs with premium non-earned currency, reads a 2K statement. Gamers are still able to acquire packs with My Team points. My Team is an NBA 2K mode in which players attempt to build the best custom team pack possible. One way to acquire players to build out your team is through purchasing packs of randomized card. That loot box mechanic, however, would be in violation of Belgian gambling laws, which is why 2K has dropped it in Belgium. 2K's statement about the change makes it clear the company doesn't agree with the Belgian government's view on loot boxes. The publisher even went so far as to encourage gamers who share its views to lobby their government representatives about them. So, things are different in Belgium.
Yes, and perhaps better in Belgium. Who knows? I mean, it depends how much you want the government getting up in your business. But I don't want to get drawn into another loot box discussion, but it's, you know...
You're on the wrong show then, my friend.
People know by this point I'm not a fan of them. I think they are cancer. I think they're very, very dangerous, particularly to younger gamers. The FIFA Ultimate Team stuff. I know EA makes a lot of money, but I think it's very dangerous.
Dangerous. Why dangerous?
Because gambling is inherently dangerous, and I do think of it as gambling. And I'm sure the Twitch chat is blowing up right now. People go, "No, it's not." But I'm hosting the show, and you're not. And my view is that my view.
I love you so much.
Is that there needs to be much more responsibility taken with this kind of mechanic where real money is brought into play. And I would love it if companies would, talking about holding their feet to the fire, I wish that companies would assume more corporate personal responsibility towards this kind of thing, but they won't. Sometimes you have to legislate, because if you let companies do whatever they want, they will gouge you every single time. Mm-hmm. And having said that, EA did snap back, and the government didn't have to get involved. You know who stood up? The players. The gamers stood up and said, this is not acceptable. The media backed them up, and EA were forced to make that major, major retrenchment, and now I think we'll probably never venture down the dark alleys of malicious, I don't want to say malicious, but you know, exploitative loot box type mechanics ever again, because they got slapped down so hard.
Do you think that there is a call in the United States for some kind of regulatory enforcement around this issue, or do you think that the adjustment that you're talking about was sufficient?
I don't know if we're at that point yet, but I think if we'll know the point when it starts to get out of control, and at that point, if companies can't be encouraged or persuaded or don't have enough inner guidance to say, you know, this is actually bad, and like we're encouraging kids to spend way too much money on ripping open blind bags and loot boxes and stuff like that. If they won't do it, someone else has to. And I would prefer that to be the player, the pressure coming from the market, from the players. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you know, I like to believe that in a free market, the market decides what is right, and that people will step away from this and say, we won't accept this, like they did with Battlefront 2. They utterly rejected that game, mm-hmm. and rightly so, because of the loot boxes, and EA was forced to make that climb down. I hope it doesn't get to the point where we have to legislate, but we might, because I just don't trust big corporations to act responsibly.
Story number three. Langrisser remake headed to Nintendo Switch. This by Alex Gilidoff from IGN. So I hope I'm saying Langrisser correctly, because that's how I pronounced it when I was younger, and I think I have it correct. Sorry if I've got that wrong. Let us know at kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong if I'm mispronouncing it. Kadokawa Games is remaking the first two Langrisser titles for Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Per Komatsu, the latest issue of Weekly Famitsu reveals that Langrisser 1 and 2, the first two games in the tactical role-playing game series, will be fully remade. The remakes will feature new character designs, an optimized UI, update mechanics, and more. More details will be revealed on August 29th during a pre-presentation event, but development is reportedly 50% complete. The first Langrisser released in 1991, while the sequel came out in 1994. Both titles featured large-scale battles, allowing players to control over 30 units. The series also features a fantasy Germanic setting. So, Gary, what up? Relative, you know, Langrisser, not the hot commodity, not the hot property in 2018, at least not yet. I'm not pulling the story out just so we can focus on yet another re-release or update or new take on a beloved RPG series or an anachronistic game, but rather to focus on how it's happening over and over and over in what seems a ridiculously short of time. This week we had announcements for new Grandia games, mm-hmm. Windjammers 2,
Windjammers,
a sequel to Dragon's Trap, a 1987 or so Sega Master System game. What in the world is happening?
All that was old is new again.
Yeah, okay, so there was this wave of this like about 10, 11 years ago where suddenly Virtual Console came out, Xbox Live Arcade was supporting old games, PlayStation started supporting, and then it kind of went through the cycle, and then you still got compilations and some releases, but really the indie market kind of picked up the slack and started making new games with old aesthetics, and that became sort of where this place moved into. But now there are sequels, reboots, and remasters aplenty popping up all over. Is it the Switch? Is that what's doing that?
I think it's part of it. I mean, look, it's like Langrisser, a game which, in all honesty, I've never heard of.
Okay.
Is coming to Nintendo Switch. I think the Switch is driving this a lot. We're seeing a lot of these remakes. I just saw Okami is back.
Yep.
On the Switch. A lot of the old kind of classic Wii titles, yep, are coming back. Obviously, we've seen a long history of SNK Neo Geo games. We just talked about Windjammers.
Yep.
That's a twofer. I'm going to talk about Windjammers. We talked about Windjammers a lot on the Bombcast yesterday.
It is,
and I'm
going
to talk about it again too, because I just like saying Windjammers.
It's a great word to say.
I encourage you all to try it at home. Windjammers.
Windjammers.
It's just a great title.
A far better title than its Japanese title, Flying Disc.
Yes.
Yes. Known
what
as Flying Disc in
title.
Japan. Yeah, because I used to have a Japanese Wii, and it came to Virtual Console in Japan. It didn't come in America. But Windjammers came, but it came as
I bluffed
Flying
my
Disc
way through the Giant Bomb conversation yesterday, because I didn't know what Windjammers was.
Oh, you went on Giant Bomb and didn't know what Windjammers was?
I didn't know.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I messed up big time, because as you know, Gerstmann is, these guys love Windjammers.
That is Windjammer Central over there.
Yes, yeah, it is. And I walked into the Lion's Den, and there was on the day that there were two big, essentially, there was two big Windjammers subjects. So what we're seeing with Windjammers, and again, see how many times I can say Windjammers before we're done. What we're seeing with Windjammers is not just the original Windjammers being brought to Nintendo Switch, the original Windjammers, but also a Windjammers 2.
Yeah.
A sequel to the original Windjammers.
A sequel to a 1994 Neo Geo arcade game in 2018. What? Why? How is this happening?
Don't look, if you my rule is, if you like what's happening, don't question it. And I like what's happening. Yeah. So I'm just going to let it happen.
Okay. I've got a theory. You've heard the Berenstain Bears thing before, right?
Yes, the Berenstain Berenstain.
Yeah. I believe that actually where we were around the same time, it's when like Michael Jackson stopped being awesome. When that happened, I think that's when the world like shifted into another
when
dimension.
Was that?
And I think that's like the late 1980s.
Wait, no, hold on. I mean, Dangerous was pretty good.
Pretty good. That's right.
But not awesome.
Not awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you suggest that Bad was the last time?
Bad, I think,
awesome?
Is the last truly great Michael Jackson album.
Okay.
And right around then, the Berenstain Bears became the Berenstain Bears became the Berenstain Bears.
Are you a proponent of the split reality theory?
I think so, and I think this is proof.
Okay.
I've been noticing more and more of these re-releases coming out. Obviously, we talk about them a lot, but when they announced that Grandia was getting a remaster, I don't know who was clamoring for the Grandia remaster. By the way, Grandia...
Well, who was clamoring for Windjammers?
Giant Bomb.
Well, that's true.
I think what happened was Giant Bomb screamed about it for, you know, a decade or whatever, and then finally it got that... Because Neo Geo games have been popping up in Arcade Archives. You know, Hamster was doing those on PS4. They were popping up on Switch, other places. And finally, just like, yes, let's just give these people Windjammers, and then they added the online multiplayer. It must have sold well enough that they're like, wow... Let's make a sequel after all.
Just the title alone, Windjammers, made me... I don't even know what it was, but I knew I wanted it.
You've never played this game.
And it was only before the show, you showed me a YouTube video of the footage, and I once I understood that it's essentially two-player, one-on-one speedball.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in.
It's great. Yeah,
I'm in.
It's, you need to play it with two people. That's the key. Like, if you play it one player, you're going to be like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You play it with two people, you're like, oh, this is superb. It's just... Perfect.
Is Windjammers available on Switch right now, or is it still,
no.
Is it still in the pipeline?
No, Windjammers is only in the pipeline for Switch. You can play it on PS4 right now. Or Vita.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, but she's playing on PS4 because it's two-player again. On Vita,
right.
It's a little hard. I mean, you can play online, I guess. But yeah, I actually have a physical copy of Windjammers.
Can you not play Windjammers one player against the CPU?
You can, but why would you?
Yeah, why would you play Nidhogg against the CPU?
Exactly. It's practice. It's just like, I'm gonna, but it's all about that two-player experience. So.
Yeah, it looks great, and when looking at Windjammers earlier, I was very excited about Windjammers 2, and I said to you earlier, show me Windjammers 2. I want to learn more about Windjammers. And so he pulled up the YouTube video, and it looks great. But I just wish there had been some
it's just a cartoon.
Actual wind jamming.
No, it's
all
just
I saw was an anime intro, man, which
you
looked great.
You were loving saying wind jammers.
I want to see how many times we should do an on-screen counter. How many more times I can get it in by the time this podcast is over?
You're going to find a way.
So I will find a way.
They're going to kill us if we don't move on. But I do want to ask you, kind of funny best friends. With all these compilations and re-releases, you can write to us at kindoffunny.com and let us know exactly what you want to see re-released next, either in a compilation or one of these services. If everything else is getting a remaster or a sequel, what do you want to see a remaster or a sequel to? Because when we live in a world where freaking Dragon's Trap gets a sequel... Anything can happen.
Well, so that's an interesting conversation for us to have. If we're going to ride this wave, this trend, what would you most like to see become a part of this trend next?
Oh my gosh, I that's one, Gary, where I need to go grab my notebook of dreams.
Nothing springs to mind.
Everything springs to mind. That's the problem. It's too many things all at once.
I mean, I know my answer.
What's your answer?
I've known my answer for years.
What's your answer?
Road Rash.
Oh, that's a great one. For folks that don't know Road Rash,
I would take both a remastered reissue of the original and like a full-on new Road Rash. What would it be for?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, it would just be Road Rash again. They would they would just call it Road Rash from scratch.
Uh-huh.
But I would love a new one. And people say to me, I can see what's going on. I can't see it, but I know people are going, "Oh, there's Road Redemption and these other games out there." Yes, there are Road Rash-like games.
Yeah.
But I want an actual Road Rash from EA.
Elevator pitch, what's Road Rash for people who don't
know? Road Rash is essentially a motorcycle racing game with combat.
Yeah. Rad game.
Yeah.
Really,
fantastic
really fun.
Game.
Absolutely.
It's a motorcycle racing game, but you can kick and punch and hit people with balls and chains and things. And it's a lot of fun. And it was a huge sensation on the Sega Genesis. And I think it was pretty, did it, 3DO had a version, but it never really, it kind of went away in the, I would say, the late 90s and never came back.
Yeah, I believe it's on that PSP compilation pack, isn't it?
I think it's been about 20 years since we've seen a Road Rash.
The EA Classics.
You're wrong, will tell us. When's the last time we saw a Road Rash game?
I'm pretty sure the old ones are on that PSP. Yes,
okay.
Because I think I have
that really
along
count.
With Mutant League Football.
I mean, it's a dead system.
Yeah, the for me, the first one that comes to mind, you asked, and there are a jillion.
Okay. I gave you a second to think about it.
No, the very, very first one I would do if we're taking games that like are never going to get a chance and should, Choo Choo Rocket.
Okay.
I love Choo Choo Rocket. I think that's a game that in a remake would work just as well, or a sequel, a proper sequel to Choo Choo Rocket.
Right.
In the age of like Overcooked 2. Why the heck are we not playing Choo Choo Rocket, which is kind of the progenitor of that kind of game? like four people causing chaos on a couch together in an instantly comprehensible, ridiculously addictive loop. Do you play any Choo Choo Rocket?
I mean, I'm familiar with it. I can picture it, but I don't think I've ever really played very much.
It's a Sega game. The GBA version is actually very good.
Okay.
But you want to play with four people.
And how long has it been since there was a Choo Choo Rocket out there?
I don't think there's been a proper Choo Choo Rocket since the early 2000s.
Choo Choo Rocket's a fun one to say as well.
Don't say Choo Choo Rocket.
It's fun. Choo Choo Rocket's really fun. Choo Choo's the sound a mouse
makes. Choo Choo Rocket and Windjammers, I think. We're dealing with some really high-end titles.
Well, Choo Choo is the sound a mouse makes in Japanese. It's like squeak.
Oh, is that where it comes from?
Yeah, and that's all about mice and a giant cat that's trying to eat them while they get on rockets. So
that's weird, because I understand the kind of onomatopoeic nature of squeak. When you say squeak, it kind of sounds like the noise a mouse makes.
Uh-huh.
But choo-choo doesn't sound like anything the noise.
Here's the fun of Japanese onomatopoeia.
Okay.
They are practically all the same sound repeated twice.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, like pon pon, that's the sound of a bubble bursting. It's always like two words. Doki doki, the sound your heart makes.
Oh.
Choo-choo, that's the sound a mouse makes. So it's like choo-choo.
Oh, I've learned something.
But
okay.
It's not the sound a mouse makes.
Well, it's kind of like choo. Like, that's the idea.
Yeah, that is a bit of a stretch, but I like the notion that the onomatopoeic sounds have to have like a little repeated.
Yeah, there's like two of them.
Double beat, yeah.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's one of the ways you identify those. All right, so I think that's enough of that discussion, and I'm sure we'll hear about it in the comments. Moving on, that's about games that came out a long time ago. They're getting sequels, but Gary, those aren't coming out today. If I want to know what new games I could play today, where would I turn?
The official list, and although today I would struggle to call it a list, of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, that was good.
That was a good yeah.
That was a good yeah.
This is possibly the worst release list I've ever been on the show for. I know that Wednesday I always come in when the list is bad, but this is real bad.
Well, I mean, this could just, you know, maybe it's a really good game.
I mean, maybe.
It's one game.
Can we pull it up?
This is from our friends at Kotaku.
I want to know what, if there's only one game, at the very least we can know what we're talking about.
Right. This game is called Out of the Box. It's for PS4 and Switch, and it's out today. And Out of the Box is all that's out today. That's right. One game.
Want to take a guess? What do you think Out of the Box is? I'll take a guess. You take a guess. We'll see who's closest to being right.
I think Out of the Box is a 3D puzzle game where you rotate a box to get something to come out of it.
Okay. I think it is a game where you play a box. And the box is kind of shuffling around and doing things with other boxes.
Guys, finding this trailer's real hard.
All right, you know what? We're just going to move on then.
Just let us know when you have it.
Let us know you have it. New dates. Only one new date to talk about today, but a significant one for me. Etrian Odyssey Nexus coming out this February in the U.S. That'll most likely be the last.
Another one I've never heard of. What's Etrian Odyssey Nexus?
Okay, Etrian Odyssey is a long-running series of superb dungeon crawlers by Atlas that's out on the DS and 3DS.
Okay.
They're like, think Wizardry for the modern age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And it uses the bottom screen of the DS to do your mapping. So you're doing the top screen, you're crawling the dungeon, and the bottom screen, you're actually marking your map.
Does it have like
map.
That little window like the where you get the 3D dungeon and you're kind of like moving forward
through
in little
it.
Boxes?
Yep. Yes. Okay. And it is just as hard as old Wizardry games.
Yes.
It is beautiful. It has Yuzo Koshiro, amazing, awesome music.
Yeah.
Superb series.
I never played Wizardry, but I played another game of that school on the Atari ST. It was called Dungeon Master.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. FTL's
Dungeon Master.
Yes. Great game.
Hold on. We got something. Out of the box.
Out of the box. Here we go.
Let's see what it is.
All right.
I think this is it. It was real hard to find, though.
All right. Kevin's reasonably sure that this is the trailer for Out of the Box. We're hoping this is the right game.
I'm hoping so. How many different games can there be called Out of the Box?
I mean, it's a strange world we live in.
It's an M-rated.
All right. So here we go. There's
Who's
a man.
This dude? Okay, so there's a rich-looking
Wow, he kind of looks like you, Gary. Like, if you wore a vest.
In a savage world. Okay.
All right. In a world.
Who's this guy?
He's a sergeant of some kind.
Full of dangers. All right.
All right. Yep.
He's pills. Popping some pills. This guy.
He's got a neck tattoo. There's a lady there.
You will have to choose.
What will we choose?
Who is in and who is out? All right. Okay. I'm in.
Are we in?
Oh,
you're in?
You're a bouncer?
What? Oh. Is this like...
Oh, you play a bouncer?
Is this Papers, Please?
Oh, the nightclub is called The Box.
That was Donald Trump. Okay, so that's The Box. So you're playing Papers, Please at a nightclub.
Oh my God! Papers, Please with a nightclub bouncer. This is out today.
This is out today. You could be playing this
goodness.
Right now.
I know what I'm doing when I go home.
All right,
I'm getting this title. Okay. It's on Switch and PS4.
Switch and PS4.
No Xbox. That's weird.
Yeah, well, it's out of the Xbox. So we were both, it's out of the Xbox.
I've never been so... Oh, it's already out on the Xbox.
No, it's out of the Xbox.
Oh.
Oh, so there we go.
Oh, no, wait. It says Xbox must already One, be PC, out then. Switch,
I don't
PS4.
Know, man.
I have never been so glad to be wrong because this sounds very exciting.
All right, we got to rein this jackass circus in. It's time for some reader mail, but first... Today's message brought to you by MeUndies. Gary, don't you love amazing underwear shipped to you without ever leaving the house?
Never had it done, but the idea appeals.
Oh, I really do think you might want to get on the train. I got it done. I was like, you know what? My friends, they're all wearing this real comfy underwear. They keep telling me about it. Keep telling me how convenient it is.
I know. Well, Greg's on here. He always shows me.
Yeah, he always shows you. No, I'm not going to show you my underwear.
No, okay. But are you wearing MeUndies right now?
Right now, I am not wearing MeUndies.
So, yeah,
I'm not
going to
say I'm wearing,
show them to me.
I
anyway.
Might not be wearing any undies right now.
Oh, no.
I didn't need to know that either.
I might not be. It could be one of those
You could
days.
Be going commando right now?
It's entirely possible that nothing is coming between me and my jeans. But that's for another day.
Hold on.
Greg and Tim love MeUndies. They're wearing them now. Wherever they are, reasonable chance they're wearing them. That would be my guess.
No, yeah, I mean, they're big fans.
100% chance, he says.
Yeah.
They're the best underwear that they've ever worn. They are very comfortable underwear. They release multiple fun prints each month for matching socks and bralettes. I learned just the other day on Kind of Funny Games Daily what a bralette was. I didn't know till then.
What is a bralette?
A bralette is like a sports bra, not for sports. I didn't know that either. Yep, Tim was informing me.
Isn't that just a bra?
No, that's a bralette.
Straps.
Yep.
It's a bra. It's a strapless bra.
It's a bralette. I was informed. It's like Tim educated me.
I am learning all sorts of new things on this show today.
100% satisfaction guarantee for MeUndies. You're going to love these undies, but if you're not into it, just send it back for a full refund. And now there's the MeUndies monthly membership. Members get access to exclusive prints no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes, and you can switch styles or skip any month you want. To get your first 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies, MeUndies.com/GamesDaily.
Wait, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's it does have straps. It doesn't have any wiring.
So doesn't have any wiring. Bra. Ooh, it's a softer
bra. I'd show you images, but there's a lot of transparent ones.
Well, let's not do that then.
Transparent? What, yeah. Like see-through bras?
Well, I mean, like in the Google search.
In the Google search, yeah.
I've seen a lot
of you enjoy yourself over there. I think
MeUndies, they're more into the patterns. They're all about the patterns.
Guys. I'm doing research.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's weird.
Okay. I mean, honestly.
You do your research and I'll
do mine.
Anything
we do here not already extraordinarily weird?
Yeah, me too, man.
Reader mail. Good morning, Jared and Gary. Happy Widow Wednesday.
Wait, hold on. We've skipped. What was all the... Oh, no. No.
No, yeah, we're in the
right
spot.
You're right. My bad.
That's all right.
You're a professional.
Can you read the names first?
Jared? Read the names?
Yeah, of who's doing it.
What's... You don't like how I'm hosting here?
No.
You don't like it?
No, frankly, you're doing an awful job.
Okay, well, I think that's fair. Okay. That's definitely fair. Andrew Dramas asks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Jared and Gary. Happy Widow Wednesday. Not a question regarding any news, but do you think games like Fortnite have expanded the gaming community in such a way that we may see increased sales for fall and winter's bigger releases? People that have never been into gaming and those who haven't played games in a long while are playing Fortnite. Do you think these people may switch over to games like Spider-Man and Red Dead Redemption 2 when they see their squad playing those games instead of Fortnite? Has the influx of new and retired gamers expanded the pool of consumers in the industry in general? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thank you for being you, and give that chicken some TLC before you take it to the... Yeah, I'm done with that. Andrew Dramas. Kevin. Before we get to the question, why do you want me to read the name first? Because the name comes at the end of a letter.
I understand, but I'm taking notes, so I don't know which one you're reading until I get the name.
No, even though they're in order?
So here's the thing. You do them in order, but a lot of other people do not do them in order.
Do I need to be here for this? I can come back when you guys have got
you
this
You can come back
out.
For that.
Yeah.
Or perhaps...
Give us like 2 minutes. We got to work this out.
Perhaps we just answer the question. All right, so what do you think?
I think it could go either way. Again, this came up on the Bombcast yesterday. We're actually talking about the analysts reporting yesterday very poor sales expectations for Battle 5, mm-hmm. Battlefield, Battle 5. I guess you just call it Battle 5.
Battle 5.
Battlefield 5 or Battle 5. Battlefield.
Why don't you say Windjammers again?
I'm just going to call this Windjammers. For the purposes of this bit, Battlefield 5 will be referred to as Windjammers. So... Very, very poor sales expectations for Windjammers. according to analysts, tracking 85% behind Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Okay.
So the question is the Windjammers franchise at EA struggling for some reason? They've both got big battle royale modes.
Mm-hmm.
But eight tracking 85% behind Call of Duty, that's really bad. But there's a question of whether or not Fortnite is helping or hurting. Is it perhaps, I think the other thing could happen. I think that games like Windjammers and Call of Duty Black Ops 4 could struggle this holiday season because a lot of the people that might otherwise be looking for those games, Fortnite's already sucked all the air out of the room. These people are playing Fortnite and they're playing PUBG. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what's going to happen with these. We correctly predicted that EA and Activision, Ubisoft will be doing it as well with their Tom Clancy stuff. Battle Royale modes are now coming. We're going to see the first big Battle Royale between the Battle Royale games this holiday season with Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, and Windjammers. And the question is there even enough players to go around when everyone and their families are playing Fortnite? What do you think?
I think that you raise a very good point there. I think that the Battle Royale space and really the games as a service space does have an upper limit. And that upper limit is still very fuzzily defined right now. I think that there are more people right now trying to sell big budget games as a service than there are current customers for games as a service. I think the fact that Fortnite is free and works on anything works to its advantage in a way that
those two things cannot be denied.
Yeah. And those two things are huge factors. It's a high quality game you can play with your friends that's free, works on anything. It's free. It's kid friendly.
It's on every platform. And that is going to be the third point that I made because it looks more like Team Fortress than PUBG or Call of Duty or Windjammers. You're okay with your kids playing it in a way that like other games you might not be.
Yeah, it's not like gritty and dark.
No, it looks like Team Fortress. It looks like it's a cartoon fight.
So when it comes to the games as a service shooter space, I think that Fortnite very well could cannibalize. But counterpoint.
Okay.
I also think Fortnite is bringing new people into gaming, new people back into gaming. And when it comes to other kinds of games that you play with your friends,
yeah,
it does have the potential to bring new people. When they're talking about squatting up in Red Dead, yes, I think that that might work. When it comes to, hey, I'm playing Spider-Man today. Spider-Man's great. You should play Spider-Man. Okay. And somebody jumps in. Yes, I think that there is some blue ocean space. People talk about, you know, grabbing customers that you haven't had before or haven't had in a long time. Fortnite is introducing lots of new people to games and bringing a lot of people back to games.
I think
games.
It's a bit of both, and it's very similar to the conversation that I saw around the time that the Harry Potter books blew up, which is Harry Potter going to be a gateway drug into reading for a new generation of kids, or is it just that kids just want to read the Harry Potter books and nothing else?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a bit of both. I think when you look at Fortnite or Minecraft or games that have exploded to like a truly... They've crossed the barrier into true, true mainstream. Like, everyone knows what those games are now.
Yeah.
I think that they a certain percentage of those players can't not cross over and want to see what else is out there. Fortnite's not going to satiate them for the rest of their lives. They're going to be looking to see what else. Hey, this game was fun. What other games might be fun?
But
there are some people that are just going to play Fortnite and nothing else.
And well, I mean, how different is that really than for years we've said the old trope of, hey, there's these people that just buy Call of Duty and Madden every year.
Yeah.
And those are the only games they play. And we're like, and we were fine with that because those were games we knew.
Yeah.
You know, those were games that we were comfortable with.
That's Fortnite's why those games basically prop up their respective publishers.
Fortnite very, very well, in some ways, be the next of those. But at the same time, it is introducing people to a lot of new people to this world.
Yeah.
And I think Fortnite's good for the industry.
But I'd be very worried about if I were EA or Activision and I'm making my big Battle Royale play this year, I'd be very worried about Fortnite because they're looking at Fortnite and they're saying it's not a level playing field. They're going, well, okay, we like Battle Royale. We like 1v100. We like this. We like that. So they put it into Black Ops 4, they put it into Windjammers, they're trying to make this like the big thing. They're basically looking at Fortnite going, what is Fortnite doing that we can copy? You know what Fortnite's doing that you can't copy? It's free. And you cannot say it enough times. It's free, it's free, it's free.
And it works on everything, everything, everything.
And it works on everything, everything, everything. And it's suitable for everybody, everybody, everybody.
Yeah.
And so you put those three things together and you've got the story of Fortnite, which is this epically successful game. I don't know how the Battle Royale modes are going to do for
Black Ops 4 and Windjammers this year. Maybe it'll take them to the next level. Maybe it won't. But I do think that Fortnite, and to a slightly lesser extent, but still very big, PUBG is still growing. Those two games are still taking all the oxygen out of the room.
Well, I mean, people looked at PUBG and they said, wow, Battle Royale games have huge potential. And across the industry, in boardrooms, people all sat down and said, obviously, we need to take our existing products or a new product and get in on this Battle Royale thing.
Yeah.
And they got it stamped and approved because the suits in the room understood that language, and they were willing to throw...
They looked at the pie charts and said, everyone's playing Battle Royale, so we need to get in on that action.
But everybody did that at the same time.
Yes.
And Epic got their first and best so far.
Yes.
I mean, they came in after PUBG. They were the first PUBG clone to just nail all the notes right.
Yes.
And it's going to be hard to leverage into that space. It really is.
And like I said, there's not a lot of oxygen left. Everyone's playing Fortnite. Everyone's playing PUBG. I am interested to see what Battle Royale looks like with full-on AAA production values, which is what we have not seen yet.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. And I think there is going to be a very interesting head-to-head between Black Ops and Windjammers in terms of which one has the best Battle Royale mode.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, I would certainly be nervous, particularly if I was EA. It's never... This is the problem with the industry is so reactive. We're only seeing this now because it's been proven to be successful elsewhere. Yep. And but in a way, I'm really glad for it because we've talked about this on the Bombcast yesterday. The shooter genre has been static for so long. Like, when's the last time that there was, like, certainly on the multiplayer side, that there was a seismic evolutionary leap forward?
Exactly. We get mad if a shooter controls slightly differently than every other shooter we've played in the last 5 years.
The emergence of Battle Royale is the first truly great evolutionary leap forward in what we think of when we think about first-person shooters in a real long time, probably since Modern Warfare.
And I welcome it.
Yeah, I really do too.
This one from, let's go to JP from Montreal.
You see what I'm talking about? He takes your notes.
All right, I did that to irritate you, Kevin.
And he had to turn the page to do that as well.
I did. This one from JP in Montreal.
I mean, you just proved my point.
No, I did that because you...
Proved my point.
Listen here, why don't you run off and get another picture of Nick, all right?
Yes, prove please do. Point.
Yep. This one from JP from Montreal. I'm a new dad with a 5-month-old daughter, and I realize that playing popular PS4 games isn't really adapted with his new lifestyle. I haven't even been able to finish one single Monster Hunter World mission, as you can't save mid-mission, and of course, competitive shooters like Fortnite or Overwatch won't cut it, since there's no pause button, and leaving mid-game results in XP loss. So I've resorted to playing favorite CRPGs from my childhood, with the D&D games remastered by Beamdog. Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, Planescape, Icewind Dale, amazing games. Yes, they are, JD. But more than that, they start in literally seconds, even on an old computer, what Greg would call a spreadsheet simulator box, which is wonderful for someone who keeps changing diapers and rocking a baby to sleep. But now I have a big problem. I finished all Beamdog's games. I need help. Can you help a new dad find the perfect game to play next? With your experience in classic games, maybe you can recommend some great RPGs or something else that is a quick save and starts up fast. Thank you so much, and keep gingerly petting that poultry. So games that you can just put down at practically any point and pop right back into that you enjoy, Gary.
There's no shortage of those. I wonder why it's important to him that they start up fast.
Oh, I think because he just doesn't want to sit there and go through a 5-minute start cycle when he's playing in 10-minute chunks.
Yeah, because you don't know when that kid's going
to
wake up.
Yeah, so you just want a game that you just hop right into, hop right out of, don't have anything to worry about there. So obviously, you're not going to play something like Dark Souls where you got to stop at every campfire. Nothing where you're going to lose your progress. The first game that comes to my mind is actually a modern game that I like to champion for, which is now available on Switch and already available on PS4, and that's Minute. Minute is a game where every 60 seconds you die, and every time you die, it saves. So you can literally play a minute in 60-second chunks. You're going to die no matter what. That's the mechanic.
Okay.
You die, but everything you change in the world stays changed.
Okay.
It's a really cool game.
Is that an older game?
No, it's a brand new game.
Okay.
Came out this year. I love it. Fantastic little game. It's only a few hours long, but totally worth it. What's that?
Can you pause during that minute?
During that 1 minute? There's no reason to pause during that minute. I think you can, actually. I think you can to plan. But no, I, and if you die, it doesn't penalize you in any way. But no, I think you can actually pause. within that minute. But minutes built around what you're searching for there. So that's a great PS4/Switch game to look at with that. It's like $10. You only get a few hours of play out of it, but it's a very rewarding few hours. What about you, Gary?
I mean, in terms of stuff that starts up right away, he seems to be referring to like older games. I wonder if you shouldn't just like download an emulator or ScumVM or something and play some like real old school games. Like go back and play some Sierra games or some old Interplay games, like play Bard's Tale or... Like King's
Well,
Quest,
there's that
like,
kind of yeah, all the GOG stuff. I mean, that's one of it. You can just leave stuff, that running. Anything you to grab on GOG, you're just going to be able to practically any turn-based RPG where you're not worried about a food or torch mechanic.
Right.
You're going to be fine with. So that's one of the places I think of as well. Some of the roguelite stuff is just too long. I'm afraid you know you get into that run, but you do have games like that have very like. Hey, it's just save right here things. Sheeran the Wanderer comes to mind. That's a series I really like to champion. So Sheeran's very much in that rogue genre where you have to beat the game in one long run. Like you're just trying to, but you can save anywhere. Now, once you saved, if you die, that save vanishes.
Oh.
And you have to go back to the beginning. But as long as you're just picking it up in chunks and you're just trying to make that run, you can stop for a while and come back to Sheeran. And that's nice. So it's still a roguelike where you have to play it in one run, but you can take breaks between the runs or take breaks in the middle of a run.
Got it.
And plus it's super accessible. So the Sheeran the Wanderer series, which is available on Vita and DS and Wii, all very good games. Any others from you, Gary?
I'm struggling. Let me come back to you on that one. I'm trying to think of some good, because my brain goes back to like really, really old school games. I mean, I don't know if you might like something like Octopath Traveler or something that's easy to pick up and play and...
yeah,
I want something that's a bit more modern.
My brain's dying. Does Octopath Traveler have a quick save?
I don't know.
Okay, I can't remember right now either. So
you're wrong, we'll tell us.
Didn't mean to fail you there. All right, so what do we got here? This one from Reverse Flash. Hey, Jared and Gary. Jared reported on IGN the other day that Grandia 1 and 2 HD remasters are coming to Switch, and I couldn't be more excited, as those are excellent games. With the recent success of Octopath Traveler, it got me thinking, why hasn't Square Enix been making as big a push for the World Ends With You HD remake for Switch? It seems to be no talk or footage of this game at all, and it's out in just over a month. Octopath got a ton of media exposure before release. With Octopath's success, I figured Square would be making a bigger push. I'm wondering if games like Grandia are coming to Switch because developers are being inspired by the success of a JRPG on that platform. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Also, Jared, did you hear anything about the Grandia remasters coming to PS4, or is it a Switch and Steam exclusive? So the second answer to the second question very quickly is, all I've heard about is Steam and Switch. I don't know anything about a PS4 release on that, but... why haven't we heard about The World Ends With You?
I don't know. This is the first time. Certainly, I'm your case study. This is the first time hearing of it.
You didn't know it was being remastered?
The World Ends With You is being remastered. I'm glad about it because it's a game that I heard very, very good things about when it was first out. What was it, on the Wii?
No, it was a DS game.
It was a DS game?
Yep.
What's the Wii one that I'm thinking of that was related to it? It was all black and white.
Are you thinking of Mad World?
I'm thinking of Mad World.
Okay,
no. I liked Mad World.
Mad World, yeah. The World Ends With You is a kind of a rhythmy, cool, funky RPG. They use the top and bottom screens in really clever ways.
Okay, so I remember hearing very, very good things about it at the time, but I never had a chance to play it. So again, now, I get to rediscover. The Switch is such an amazing platform for rediscovery of games that you might have missed the first time around.
Nintendo, we were talking about this the other day. Nintendo's made a tradition out of selling us the same games over and over and over first party.
They've become very good at it.
It goes all the way back to like Super Mario All-Stars. They've been doing it forever. They've somehow found a way to do that with third-party games now. I don't know how that happened. But what we're getting now with The World Ends With You, that's a game that really deserve more love than it got the first time around. But I don't know what goes on in Square Enix marketing sometimes, or in sections of Square Enix marketing, because they're very good at pushing some things, then some things just... I went and watched the Octopath Traveler trailer just last night. Not Octopath Traveler. The World Ends With You trailer just last night, thinking about this. And it's awful. It's just awful. It's
the
like here's some here's some characters, and no compelling reason to play this game. I just sort of assumed you knew The World Ends With You.
Right.
Here are these cool design. Nothing that would make me want to play the game.
Mm.
So I don't know why we're not hearing about it. I encourage you, despite Square Enix's best efforts to keep you from checking out this game, to definitely check it out when it comes out, because The World Ends With You is really good.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I think it's totally... And as for people, what do you think about people releasing RPGs because Octopath succeeded? Your thoughts?
I think the more RPGs there are in the world, the better. I love RPGs, and as someone who never had really played many JRPGs as recently as a couple of years ago, I really do like the genre, and I want to discover more of them. So the more, the merrier.
This one from Nate. Hello, Jared and Gary. I just wanted to give a shout out to Gary and his kind gesture of giving a shout out to a smaller Twitch streamer Saturday night.
Oh, that was fun.
Someone was streaming Jurassic Park on the Genesis for 11 viewers. And Gary took it upon himself to celebrate some retro games and tweeted the user's stream out. The best friend showed up that night. His stream capped at nearly 400 viewers. He earned 70 new subs. Gary even took the time to come back Sunday afternoon and hang in the chat. It was a really fun weekend hanging out there with Mr. and Mrs. Witta and the other best friends, watching some retro games like Aladdin, Ghostbusters 2, and Donkey Kong Country 2. Good on you, Gary. That from Nate.
Yeah, that was really fun. I just happened to be sitting around on a Saturday afternoon kind of bored, and I was watching, there's a great Apple TV app called Twitchy. It's not the official Twitch app because there isn't one, but there's an unofficial one called Twitchy, which is really good. If you like watching Twitch streams and you have an Apple TV, I recommend checking it out. And I was just watching the retro category because I like to watch people stream old games. And I remember thinking, how niche does this get? So, you know, it's ranked in order of like who has the most viewers.
Yeah.
So the number one channel with the most viewers is the first one you see. But as you scroll down, it gets smaller and smaller. And there are people streaming games for audiences in the single digits.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like I just love that. I just love the fact that there are people out there that are so passionate about playing games and streaming them and sharing them with their friends that they're willing to put all the effort into a Twitch stream, even if not that many people show up. I just thought that was really, I just think that's really great. And there was one guy, his name is Zexio, Z-E-X-X-I-O-S. You can find him on Twitch if you want to check out his channel. Really cool guy. He was playing Jurassic Park on the Sega Genesis for an audience of 11 people. And I thought, you know what? I love this. I just love it. And I feel like this guy deserves a bigger audience. So I tweeted out his stream. I texted Greg and said, hey, give this guy a boost. He tweeted it out as well. And you know what? The magic of the kind of funny community, all the best friends showed up. And you can go watch his stream archive from Saturday. It was a fun moment to see as Greg and I tweeted out his stream, suddenly his numbers start to skyrocket. He went from 11, suddenly he was at 50, then it was 100. And I was thinking, let's just get him over 100. He had almost 400 viewers by the time he was done. He was the number one retro channel in that entire category. And it was just fun to watch the guy go, holy shit, what's happening? Why is my stream blowing up? And he was just having really fun. And all the best friends were in there saying, Gary sent me, Greg sent me. It was just really, really fun. So now I've kind of taken it upon myself. It was so much fun. And I felt like it was such a mitzvah to do something. Like, just felt like a nice thing to do for someone to help support a small streamer, that I'm going to try and do it semi-regularly now. There's another guy out there right now whose streams I really enjoy watching. If you enjoy watching like old school RPGs, there's another streamer out there right now I really enjoy watching called Chubo. Chubo.
Okay.
You can find him on Twitch as well. I spent pretty much every night last week watching him play The Bard's Tale.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, I just had an epically fun time watching. He's working through the old Sierra game, Quest for Glory, right now.
Oh, wow.
Just and he plays Wizardry, he plays all these old RPGs. Yeah. And this is like my new way to chill out in the evening. And I sit down and I watch a chill retro stream. And so if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to try and make a habit now of regularly giving shout outs to smaller streamers who I think are deserving of a better audience. I don't think every stream is going to blow up the way this guy's did, because it was one of those like lightning in a bottle type things where Greg got involved, all the kind of funny best friends showed up. I think you saw it at some point.
It's the Witta seal of approval. We need to come up with a name for this.
I don't know what it is. Oh my God, Ninja even gave it a shout out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he was playing Fortnite, because he's on there every day playing Fortnite. So then he was talking in chat about, oh, some retro stream's blowing up. Some guy playing Jurassic Park on the Genesis. So people went and found it.
Oh,
Ninja
that's great.
Sent me. And Ninja followed his channel. And again, this little stream has got an audience of 11 people.
Yeah.
We're suddenly going, what, Ninja followed my channel? Holy shit. And it was like a big deal. And he got so many subs and so many followers out of it that he's been able to upgrade his stream. He went out and bought a dedicated capture card, and now he's able to do more streaming.
That's really
and
cool.
I just felt like it was a really nice, it was just one of those really sweet things that happened. And I don't know if that's something I'll ever be able to replicate, but I'm going to try to, on a regular basis, if you follow my Twitter, at Gary Witta, I'm going to try to at least once a week do a shout out to a small streamer who I think deserves a wider audience.
Also, sidebar, I would love to have been in the design meeting for Jurassic Park and the Genesis, where somebody's like, so the key is we need to be able to play as Alan Grant and
Velociraptor.
That's
and it needs to be brutally difficult. One of the things that I learned about, I never really played a lot of Genesis games or a lot of Super Nintendo games. I played some on the Super Nintendo, but he played Jurassic Park, Aladdin, Ghostbusters 2, Donkey Kong Country 2, and some of these games were basically every 16-bit game was Dark Souls.
I honestly don't know why more kids who grew up playing 16-bit games didn't turn into wild-eyed killers.
Well,
because those games are brutally difficult. How do we survive that era?
They are
every
really
game
hard.
Being really hard.
Well, I mean, you grew up in Britain, home of like ridiculously difficult video games.
We
I
did
mean,
have for, Jet Set Willy.
Yeah,
the, brutally difficult.
They're just like, if you are spending your £5 to £10 for this cassette.
Oh, yeah.
You are going to get your money's
worth
out of it.
You're
going
to play it no matter how much it keeps sending you back to the start.
It's time to squad up. This one from Eric, known as Ice Easy, I-C-E space E-E-Z-Z-Y, Ice Easy on Xbox. Squad up. I'm looking for a co-op partner in Splinter Cell Blacklist on Xbox One. I'd also like to help with some best friends so we can get all these damn multiplayer achievements. Squad up with me, and we roll in that sweet, juicy gamer score. I'm a pretty cool guy, and I play pretty much everything, so send me a friend request, and we can hunt some achievements together. That's Ice space Easy with two E's and two Z's. Ice Easy. A better way to cook. I like that one.
Is that is that Batcom Blacklist on Xbox One? It's got to be, right?
What's that?
Presumably that's a backwards compatible title, Splinter Cell Blacklist on Xbox One?
I actually don't know. I do not know.
I don't
know.
Think there's been an Xbox One Splinter Cell game, has there?
No comment.
That's another franchise that's been sitting around. Splinter Cell.
Now it's time for You're Wrong, where every day on kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, you let us know all the things we screwed up on the show.
What did we do this week?
This isn't a screw-up, but somebody's got good advice. For JP from Montreal, modern CRPGs like Divinity, Original Sin, and Pillars of Eternity, and also JRPGs like Persona 5. Those are all great recommendations, absolutely. Let's see. Let's look what we got to do. Let's see. New date, Biomutant got delayed to summer 2019. Thanks. You guys said there's a 100% chance that Greg and Tim are wearing MeUndies. However, there is a chance that they are naked and wearing no underwear at
what,
all.
Like together?
I mean, you know, why not? Let's see. The last Road Rash game was Road Rash Jailbreak in 2000 for the Game Boy Advance.
So it's been 18 years since there's been a Road Rash game. I feel like for the 20th anniversary of there not being a Road Rash game, I would like there to be a Road Rash game.
All right. Somebody's just writing about wanting Golden Sun games. That's not a correction, but it's always good to talk about Golden Sun. Somebody wrote in. Let's see. We have Teclas Sotesa. Hey, Jared, sorry, I wanted to know, we have it released on mobile, but I want it released for console, Valkyrie Profile. I don't know. That's not a correction. Never mind. All right. Windjammers is coming to Switch October 23rd.
Okay, so about 2 months away.
I just saw a trailer for a spiritual successor to Road Rash called Road Redemption. That's from Harry Beals.
Yeah, like I said, I mean that's all very good, but I want the real thing.
Yeah, you want a proper.
You know how Geddes lost his shit when they announced the new Super Mario, the new Super Smash.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would be like if they announced the new Road Rash.
Just blow your top.
Just losing it. Yeah.
Capitalist Pig points out that Assassin's Creed: The London setting was Syndicate.
That's right.
Yep. Let's see. And I think that's everything.
That's all we got wrong?
Some guy wrote in and just said, you are fake news. Okay. That's,
I mean, I wear that
he
with...
He fucking got you.
What? What's that?
I said he got you?
Yeah, he understands.
It's a thing that I do.
It's a thing you do?
You sent in a thing that said fake news?
No. I yell, he got you when someone got you.
Oh. By calling us fake news, he got us? I wouldn't say we're fake news. We're just chronically ill-informed.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like games, you know? Is that really newsworthy? You know what I'm saying?
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. For good or for ill, thank you for spending this hour with two old men who love video games. This is Gary Whitta. I'm Jared Petty. Tomorrow on the show, Greg Miller returns along with me. We'll see you next time.